Well, we're going to get someone on the phone who knows a lot about this kind of stuff. Her name is Catherine Aquino. So let's see if we can get her on the phone, and she can talk to us a little bit about the mind-body connection and traditional Chinese medicine. La, 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 la. Oh, you know what? I'm doing it again. Hold on.
Were you dialing the same number again? I'm dialing the wrong number.
Hold on. I'm doing it again.
Dr. Potter.
I have a problem.
She dialed
Was it Kelly's
mom,
mother?
Yes.
Was it Kelly's mom?
I do, but I'm calling the wrong number. Let me try the right number right here. Oh, my gosh. Seriously, people? What is wrong with
Catherine? Catherine was listening going, I hear
no
phone.
She's like, this is not me.
I got nothing.
We just ordered a pizza.
I need some help with my mind-body connection. Let's see if I can get her on the phone now. All right. I'm going to take two on this.
Big money, Catherine Aquino.
I'm certainly not writing this number down anymore. There we go.
Okay.
This number is going to be so much better.
Hi, this is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. You're on the air with Broad Topics. It's Laura. How you doing?
Hi, you guys. I'm listening to your show. It's fantastic.
Aww.
I'm really enjoying myself.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Well, Catherine, first of all, I've been saying Aquino, and that's right, right?
Yes, it is right.
Yay.
There's a little lesson that I had when I first got married. My husband's Italian, and when I got married, it Aquino, when you don't pronounce the U and the I, is Filipino technically, you know, mostly, and then Aquino is the Italian version.
Now I'll know
so
how to
good
say.
Question. I liked that you guys were talking about it.
You know,
I found it fascinating when I got married.
I'm telling you, I was saying it, and then Jillian put doubt in my head, and I'm like, no, I know.
I know, I heard that doubt.
I had to
head.
Do
I'm
it.
Like, no, Laura,
because I know
got it.
A John D'Aquino.
Yeah, how do you know that?
I know
that's
him.
Right.
I know.
John
I don't know him, but I know
D'Aquino
of his
D'Aquino is my husband, but his real name, that's a whole other thing.
Oh, dear.
His real name is Aquino, but when you've joined SAG, there was already a John D'Aquino. And when my patients used to come in, they would say to me, I know who your husband is.
Yeah, he's
and
an actor, John
D'Aquino. And they Googled the other John D'Aquino, who was, you know, 30 years older than I was.
Yes.
And now is gone, rest his soul. Oh. And so they thought I had married a lot older.
Oh, there you go. And you're like, good, I got my name back. Or your husband should be.
Exactly.
So tell everybody a little bit about what you do.
I am an acupuncturist and herbalist. Chinese medicine is a holistic health care system that a lot of people just think of putting needles in someone, but especially when it comes to fertility and many other symptoms and syndromes that go along with the body, but fertility is my heart and passion just because that is, as you guys discussed earlier, when a woman wants to get pregnant, there is nothing that triggers them more mm-hmm. and deeper, as deeply as when they want to have a baby. And so Chinese medicine helps with yes, the stress reduction of that it with acupuncture needles and with herbs, but I like to think of myself as a little bit more of a lifestyle counselor in that we go to some of those places of wanting to have a child and why and is it important for it to be a biological child? Are you willing to do art? Are you wanting to do conceive naturally? It's not all about one way, and it's not all about, for me anyway, denying the stress factor of it. We have to kind of look at the stress and this is an extremely stressful situation so that we can face it and face the fears and then move through it. I really believe that's the most powerful way to deal with it. Acupuncture needles help with the endocrine system and endorphin level, so it mm-hmm. makes you feel warm and fuzzy for the most part, and that's really helpful. But if we don't look at it in a deeper way, the person will leave and they'll kind of go back to their lives and it will manifest again.
Well, I remember with Catherine, with you, I met Catherine because I was going through treatments with her when I was doing IVF. And I remember I had gone to one doctor before you who was in Santa Barbara. Someone had recommended him. And I went there and it was this like clinical, not even a nice office. And it was full fluorescent lights. And he stuck all these pins in my head and okay, lay there for an hour. And I was freaking out. I was completely freaked out by all this. And then he gave me these herbs, like this big bag of roots and stuff, and said, boil this and make this tea, which makes sense, and drink it five times a day. And it tasted like dirt. And he was like, just, chew a couple raisins with it. And I was like, no. And it beyond completely freaked me out. And yet I had read that, when you do IVF, that doing acupuncture can really up your success rates by, what is it, Catherine? It's 20% or something.
A lot of the studies have shown, the Paula study, which is the most successful, is about, it's almost 30%.
Wow.
There have been other studies that show different than that, just to be completely on board with that. And most of the time, if you read through the studies, there will be a big red flag of why they didn't work, and it's all in the stress realm. Like, the person's never had acupuncture before. They had to go find their own parking spot. They've never been to the office. It was downtown Seattle or downtown in another metropolitan area. And yes, like your experience, many times it was like, lay on this table, don't ask questions, stick a bunch of needles in with bright lights. And you know, Chinese medicine's a holistic system of health, meaning it treats mind, body, and spirit. But what's interesting is many times that's overlooked. It's not treated that way when you walk in the room, and it's all about kind of putting the needles in. And I think that you can't, our patients these days are much different than the classics of Chinese medicine. The foundations of fertility allow, we have to evolve with the times. And our women that come in the door are extremely bright, and they know more about ART and all of the acronyms that you guys were discussing today and more. And they've researched you. I mean, my patients have researched, they know everything about me. They know everything about their reproductive endocrinologist, and they are not stupid. I mean, they are really, really smart. So to take away and be, one of the biggest things for me is to make sure that they are as empowered as they actually are, because this whole process can kind of knock them to their knees without them even being able to understand why or how, because they're very capable. And you know, I was listening to Dr. Potter say advanced maternal age as being one of the main factors. And, yeah, women are waiting longer. But as you point out, Laura, I think personally it's that women are just really on top of it these days. And that women are just excelling in so many areas that, like one of your other hosts mentioned just a few minutes ago, then our body is in sort of a fight or flight. And the circulation of blood to your uterus is just not happening. So that's one of the mechanical reasons that acupuncture and Chinese medicine can really help. That's one of the concrete reasons. That's one of the reasons that Western medicine will actually put us on the map, because they say, oh, yeah, it does help with the circulation to the ovaries and to the uterus. I feel it does a whole lot more than that, but it is, that is one big reason.
Well, and I remember, hydrating, too. One of the things about you, sorry, but one of the things about going to you was that I would go into this, like, it was almost like going in a massage room, you know, it was like there was music playing and it smelled good and you smelled lovely, Catherine.
Thank you.
And we would talk, and it was a whole ritual that helped me focus. You know, I would spend that time doing the acupuncture, focusing on the egg that I wanted and the baby I was going to have and all of that kind of a thing. And it's almost bringing me to tears, because it really was the one beautiful thing in this whole process that was so hard.
Aww.
Yeah.
That makes me bring me to tears, too.
I know. I just wanted to hug you every single time. And I think,
I had a real connection with you. You are the perfect, you are like the prototype of what kind of women do walk in my office. Really bright, on top of it.
Thank you.
Healthy women. And then when they get these numbers, I have to say, that's one of the things that, you know, I bite my tongue, and I have to, I understand ART, and I get the service, and I will not at all discount that. But one of the problems I have is, you know, women come into the office and they are clearly, I mean, you all are looking at Laura, she's clearly healthy, and she was definitely healthy then. And they would get these numbers, and they would think that they weren't. And these numbers are the end all be all, and even as reproductive endocrinology has come through time, it has changed some of those protocols, because it's realized, oh, we don't really know all. I mean, hormones are just still being developed and understood and recognized and identified. The endocrine system is one of the most intricate, amazing systems. And so when you get a number like an FSH of above 10, and they say, oh, sorry, your eggs are bad. No, it truly only can mean one thing, and that is that the drugs will probably not, you will probably not respond to drugs in that cycle with that number as well as they would like during that cycle. It really, I would have to disagree. And I think Dr. Potter would agree with me. And there's no disrespect, but I don't think it means anything about egg quality, in that nobody knows the quality of your eggs until they take them out and look at them. And even then, when they grade them with their kind of grading systems with embryo, they marry your egg and their sperm, they'll grade them. And, you know, a C embryo will often be the most beautiful baby you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Talk about the survival of the fittest.
I love grading.
So I
kind of
got off on a little tangent, but I get frustrated with numbers only because they aren't, they can really label a person and make them feel like they are not healthy and not empowered.
And I have to agree with you on that, because I think that goes even beyond just like eggs or fertility. I think that's in health in general, is we're all so
exactly.
made differently. So like cholesterol, I have a lot of great and a lot of bad. Now they consider mine bad, but I'm way healthy. No, everything else is fine. So I just assume that's my level. That's who I am.
Yeah, and your bodies are all completely unique. And mm-hmm. I think that is exactly right. There are markers, but, you know, then they have these other, they have other things like thyroid. And thyroid has this hugely vast number that they call healthy, 0.5 to 5. Well, that's huge in little intricate 0.10s. I know, 0.1, 0.2, mm-hmm. 0.5, 0.6, 0.7, all the way up to 4.5, 4.5. And they all consider that normal. Well, a healthy reproductive system usually runs better with 2 or under. And it's interesting. There's all kinds of kind of discrepancies within this number and labeling system. And I guess that's what I love about Chinese medicine the most, is that it empowers me and it allows me to get to know my patients on much deeper level. I ask them about their bowel movements. I ask them about their sleep. I ask them about how their relationship is with their husband, why they want to have children. So it's an emotional, psycho-spiritual, mm-hmm. Physical lifestyle program. And I don't think I could operate in the confines of less than that. I think they're all extremely valid.
Well, that's one thing I wanted to clarify as an outsider to this whole thing. As far as what you offer and what you practice, is it independent of the IFF treatments and the ARTs and all the other things we've
been
discussing?
That's a great question. No, it's not. It depends on what the patient wants, and it depends on how comfortable they are. I guess my biggest goal is to find out what that answer is. And honestly, I have patients that, you know, through treatments they've adopted. And or through treatments have had egg donors, or through treatments have decided that they didn't want to have a child after all. It was something that somebody else put on them, their husband or their mom. Mm-hmm. And if they're, one of the things is one of the real basic services or relationships that I try to have with my patients or communications that I have with my patients is if they're going through ART, is to really, really be sure that, number one, I help them through the stress of it all, and I believe information is key there. My patients are too smart to have a fragment, a soundbite, or any kind of information left out from logistical issues like Laura was talking about. I mean, everything is, like, timed, and you have to go to these doctor's offices every day in the morning, and then you don't know what to expect, and they barely tell you anything, and then you don't even, all of a sudden, you're going to have your retrieval tomorrow. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And without any of this kind of information ahead of time, because the doctors are busy and they're so used to kind of doing this, that sometimes things like that get overlooked. And when most of my patients are very busy with work, those little things help a lot with the stress. But I basically want to help them through the process and make sure that they're empowered through the process and that it's something that they actually want to do and feel good about. If their fertility in their mind really is having a baby from love making with their husband on a mountaintop, and that's what they believed was going to happen from their, you know, when they were little girls, I want to know about it. And if they want to share it, I mean, of course. But if it's that they never thought that they were going to be fertile because they never imagined, they just knew something was wrong, and they knew that they couldn't, and they, you know, then we have to talk about that, too. And is that a thought that came from their parents, or is that a thought that really comes from them? Because I truly believe you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go from there. And then many of my patients, I would probably say probably 50% are going through some kind of ART, mm-hmm. even before they walk in the door. Some then change or, you know, go along. But it's their journey that I just want to help them with, I guess, is the question. Answer the question.
Well, and Catherine, it's Laura again. Hi.
Hi.
An interesting thing that you mentioned to me back when, which I totally remember, was how why traditional Chinese medicine is so good at infertility and why it focuses so much on infertility.
Oh, what did I say?
It was brilliant.
It was so good. I remember you telling me that back in days of yore,
oh,
that the doctors weren't allowed to look up at the woman's private parts, and that fertility was a big part of the Chinese culture, especially with the men. So that's why they came up with all these different alternative ways to find out what was going
on. Well, and also virility and baby making, even though, yes, the government, as you guys were talking about earlier, I wanted to pipe in on this conversation the whole radio show.
Oh, you should have called
on
in.
On every level.
Hit it.
But yes, even though the government has all these things, virility and babies and having babies is essential to the culture. And so even way back when a woman did not get pregnant, it was like right away, it was thought to be something was wrong. And yeah, acupuncture was one of those things that doctors then could treat without having visual eyes. And there were actually blind monks that were used many times to treat it.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we're very good at it, from what the classics say, because they learn to listen, feel, and understand. But one of the things that is important is, or at least is something I always have to be mindful of, is our classics are so invaluable. But when I look at a classic textbook and I look at fertility treatments, many times they don't apply these days because our women are so different.
Yeah.
Back then they were malnutritioned. They didn't have enough. They were cold. We look at things as sort of elements, you know, cold, deficient, excess, heat. Mm-hmm. We use all these sort of broad terms to kind of identify what's going on as a pattern inside a woman's body or a man's, depending upon what's going on. And that's the other thing. I think a couple should be treated. This is not essentially a women's problem at all. It is 50-50. That is the statistics. It's 50-50. And you guys were talking about when people come up to you and say, oh, yeah, you should relax more. And inevitably, they'll always do that to the women, and they'll say, oh, you do, you know, you just need to go have fun and have sex with your husband more. And women, my poor women come in. You know, that's just the worst thing you can say.
Yeah.
So I think also, I mean, coming from a lesbian point of view, you're going to have two women then, too, right?
Yeah, I have lots of two women.
Right. So
I had my doctor, when I delivered my baby recently, said a lesbian couple had just given birth a week before me, and they were breastfeeding. Both of them had given birth, and both of them were breastfeeding and taking turns with their babies. And I was just like, oh, that's so beautiful.
Wow.
He's like, yeah, they're totally fine coping with this whole transition without a hitch. It was like,
they had babies at the same time?
I bet. Yeah.
I guess because you can.
Can you believe it? I mean, you can
just get this done.
Those are crazy lesbians.
I mean, that's kind of funny, you know, when you think about it.
Don't judge the lesbians, Jillian.
If you can do
it,
do it.
No, I'm going to stick with dogs. I love you all, but I love my dogs.
I have a weird question for you. When you were talking about, you know, the women back in the day being sickly and cold, and that's why it was so difficult. I've always had trouble comprehending how it is in these countries where people are starving and their children, how are they having children when they're so weak?
It is interesting.
I don't know how that happens.
Is that's about being able to survive, having somebody else?
I think, yeah, I think it's cellular. And I also think youth there plays a big part. Mm. I'm a member of there's a woman who, in my world, she's a colleague, she's an acupuncturist, and then now she gives retreats called Brandine Lewis, and she wrote a book, it's great, called The Infertility Cure. But she talks about a model I use in my room a lot about when you're young, you know, the physical body is really pretty set up to just have babies. It's the blood is all filled in the uterus. Your hormones are just, you know, set up to procreate. When you're older, it has to kind of come from different means as far as a spiritual. Your body really has to kind of come to terms in a balance that's much different than just a physical body.
Mm.
And I think that's true. And I think that that's true in other countries where there isn't all of that. But yeah, maybe in some sense they're a little more relaxed even than our way of, believe it or not, than in our way of society.
Because they probably don't know any different. That's just
how
they
live. Yeah, and we're in the fight or flight of multitasking like crazy, and the blood is just not going down there.
Yeah.
In the uterus or ovaries. There's just no way.
Well, you figure like anorexics, they don't menstruate anymore, you know, and
exactly.
I just think of these people with all of the lack of nutrition that they're getting, how is it that they manage to still conceive under those circumstances?
Well, I don't think that they're the ones that are conceiving, you know, I haven't done any studies on that, but I think that's a great question.
Well,
I think they must be menstruating. I don't know. That's a really good question.
Thank you. Maybe you'll look into that and let me know.
Well,
yeah.
I think it's really an amazing practice that you have. I think it's amazing to discover that. I think when I look back at this, my journey to have my children, that I think in a way it was great because I learned about a whole new thing. I learned about the infertility treatments. I knew, you know, and through you, I learned about, you know, traditional Chinese medicine, and I would never in a million years have learned anything about that. And even from, you know, I didn't go to Dr. Potter, but from someone like him, where I learned about the whole other side and how, you know, A plus B equals C minus Y. And
it's fascinating.
It's really, really interesting stuff. And sorry, go ahead.
I love that you're able to blend the Western and Eastern in this mm-hmm. case, that you're working with both sides of what we've viewed medicine as over the years. Are you seeing that happening more and more? I mean, is Western medicine turning to Eastern medicine and saying, hey, could you lend us a hand here? Or are you still kind of fighting for attention?
That's a good question. I'd like more of it. I think I do have reproductive endocrinologists referring to me, and mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I think the studies, the one good thing about infertility is there's a lot of money surrounding it.
Oh, yeah.
So that there have been some really good studies done in the very double blind study way that the Western world likes. But there's been a ton of Chinese acupuncture studies done, you know, in China that aren't scientifically in our world the right confines. But so that has helped. I mean, some reproductive endocrinologists have acupuncturists in their offices. Mm-hmm. I still have yet to find, and I've talked about this like to three of my patients at least today, just the complete openness of sharing. I think I know some of my colleagues have with reproductive endocrinologists, so I know they're out there. I guess also logistically I need them in my area. Mm-hmm. And I do have a few that I completely believe in and I know are completely capable on their side. I guess, you know, it would be nice to cooperate a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, take a woman's natural cycles into account instead of always manipulating them or their state of mind. You know, just little tweaks, I think, really help and benefit the patient.
Well, and don't you think it's interesting that the majority of reproductive endocrinologists are men?
I do think it's interesting.
What the heck? What is wrong with us ladies? It's always the guys with the stuff.
I do. I do. There are some women out there. I do refer to some women out there, but yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, Catherine, tell everybody how they can find you.
Okay. I have a website, and it's www.aquino, A-Q-U-I-N-O, T as in Ta, or traditional, I should say, C-M, ChineseMedicine.com. Or they can email me. It's my private email. I have people do that all the time, and I enjoy answering questions. caquino88@aol.com.
Brilliant.
They can also, on my website, there's a telephone number, and feel free to call the office. I give telephone consults, and that's fine. You know, I this really is my passion. You couldn't have hit the topic more on the head, and I love talking about it and being of service in this area.
Oh, and we're so lucky to have you. Thank you so much, Catherine, for letting us talk with you. And
thank you, guys.
Continue on with
really
helping women out. Thank you so much. You certainly helped me out. So,
thank you, Laura. It was nice hearing from you again.
Yeah, nice
Take
talking
care.
To you. Take care.
Boys. Yay.
You too.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, she really sounds like somebody that if you're in the situation you were in that you want to talk to.